Warning, this podcast is no way associated with Fox or the production of Hell's Kitchen. Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Real Eats. I am Kelsey Murphy here with my good friend Pete Ferrero, and we are here to give you the inside scoop, all the drama, and break down every single detail and exclusive interview for Hell's Kitchen Season 22, The American Dream. Hey guys, welcome to The Real Eats. Kelsey here with my good friend Pete, and we have a very special guest on the show today. Jermaine, welcome to the podcast. We are unfortunately sad to see you here, but are very glad that you agreed to come on and chat with us and give us all the inside scoop of what is happening on Hell's Kitchen. So welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate being here and looking forward to getting into it.
Yeah. All right, Pete, start us off.
Yeah, of course. Well, first of all, did you watch this show prior to? How did you get into this world?
So when we say this world, we're talking about specifically Hell's Kitchen,
right? Hell's Kitchen, yeah, right. Yeah.
Shockingly, I think that I was one of the very few, if not only person, that actually applied for my season. I think a lot of the...
Weird.
Right? Everything else was DMing people on...
Good for you.
Yeah, thank you.
I totally applaud that. I'm like loving it.
I wish there was more people like you.
I know. I've been waiting for no one, because everyone we've talked to is like,
I don't understand.
They found me
what's
on
happening.
Instagram.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't happen.
Fun?
Yeah, that was shocking. That was a little shocking to me too. And I was like, actually, not, you know, nothing against anybody who didn't apply, but I'm like, I kind of went through the process and put a lot of intent into this.
Right.
To do this. Yes. I mean, weird that like people are on Instagram just randomly finding a chef and being like, hey, I'd like you to come audition for some show that a lot of people really want to be on.
Right,
I got so mad when like my fellow contestants on MasterChef were like, I've never seen the show. I'm like, what? Oh, I've been watching this for 10 years. Like,
right,
I'm like fangirling right now.
Right.
Are you kidding?
Right.
Yeah,
right. And they're like, who's this in the pussy? Right.
Yeah. Like, what?
Right, right.
Well, very cool. That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I mean, what was that process like? Well, you just heard a story about Devin was just talking to us about his process of getting found on Instagram and the process. And he's, you know, he loves Gordon, so it worked out. But for you, what was that for you getting waiting for the emails and someone who really wanted it, you know?
Yeah, no, for me, it was like, all right, cool. Let's just go ahead. Let's apply for this thing. Let's see what happens. And let's kind of go from there. So, you know, obviously played the waiting game for a little while. Obviously, we're going to have that bit of anticipation. And I just remember it being a very, very, very long process. Like I remember like nine months is what I remember. Just, you know, getting from step to step to the next level, to the next level, to the oddest things like STD test, and it was just the oddest.
So thing. Insane.
It was insane. I was also, I forgot what it was. I was thinking about this 2 days ago, but there was another important detail that I completely forgot about my experience. And I guess when it comes again, it'll come, but it was just a very long experience. Very long waiting game, psych tests, psych evals. Yeah, very, very long, strange process.
I was talking with Devin about the having to like search for all your exes like phone numbers and
that's the part, actually, the fact that, you know, you have to go scrub the social media, you know, that was the whole thing, or having a private investigator go and go through your social media posts.
Yeah, like all of it.
Oh my god,
it was so ridiculous. That is the point where, like, I'm, like, a pretty, like, just normal, you know, and I haven't had much weird shit happen to me, but I'm also like, what are they going to find?
Right.
What dumb shit
Right. You walk into that meeting, like, with the private investigator, and they pull out this, like, folder. And I'm like, let's open it. I'm like, oh, my God.
Are you serious? That really happens?
Yes. That really happens. You, like, walk into a closed room.
With a private investigator.
After they've gone through your whole stuff, and they'd like ask you about like, what was this misdemeanor about?
Does he literally have social media posts?
Yeah, they see everything.
Oh, yeah, God, I didn't.
And they can tell you like, hey, we need you to take this down. We need to.
Yeah.
And we I mean, I can speak for myself. I don't know about anybody else in my cast, but the experience I had, we didn't have a private investigator like in person. Very clear about. I think we had Zoom. We had a lot of Zoom meetings with this person.
Okay.
Actually, there's a lot of Zoom. But yeah.
Yeah, I was like in a hotel room with a private investigator. I was like, this is so awkward.
Side note, completely unrelated, but I had an old roommate like years ago, got a job for the government, worked for immigration or something. And they had to sit me down and do a long, like flew out from DC to wherever I was to meet me for coffee for an hour and a half. I'm like, y'all should have paid me per diem. But anyway.
Right. Exactly. Dude.
Right.
So anyway, you get there, you're a fan of the show, you applied to be there, and now you're there. Yep. What is that like, man?
It's amazing, man. You know, first you have the behind the scenes stuff, which is wearing hard ice. If you've talked to anybody from my season, they probably mentioned that.
Ice.
So we're just watching with you know, code language for it. Shut the hell up. You can't say anything and keep your mouth closed until the cameras come on. So now, you know, we're finally at the part where we can see who our castmates are. We know who made the show. They flew out alternates as well, just in case someone got COVID, whatever. Happy that we weren't alternates, but and then moved in or whatever the case is and finally got into it. Walking in was like everything, right? Once we were finally able to speak and talk and kind of, instead of being sized up, because I was sized up, a lot of staring. I'm like, all right, y'all, take a picture. Once we finally got in there, it was really dope. It was just cool to see like Gordon, DSMs, everybody else who was kind of there for day one, getting to see like Chef Jason and Chef Christina in person. Again, finally being able to interact with the cast in an organic way. So that was pretty cool. But it was exciting.
So you actually like knew who like Christina and like, know, like you knew them versus like all your other cast members, like, are like, who the hell are these people?
Yeah, there were some people who definitely were unfamiliar with either the people or the show.
Yeah.
People on the show who've never watched the show before.
So weird.
What is Jason? you're getting to meet everybody, and he's nice, and she's sweet, and then we have Jason.
Jason, I'll preface this by saying, in real life, he's a cool guy. He's actually respect him as a chef. I'll give that. That's on the show and off the show. I'll say that very, you know, it may be an unpopular opinion, but I actually respect him as a chef.
Well, I think as the weeks go on, you respect him a little bit more, and he's chilled. Yeah. He's chilled a little bit. Yes. You know?
But we want to talk about upon,
yes, upon arrival.
Upon arrival, I really thought that like Fox planted him, because I was like, there's no way you're like this. There's no way you're like this. Like, I remember we first walked in, and one of the first things Jason said to us was, all right, let's line everybody up. And I might be paraphrasing a bit. It's been 2 years, but he's like, all right, let's line everybody up. Who's had experience in the hotline? Who does what? Who's done what? Who's, and we're like, all right, we're already starting up real hot, real strong.
Oh my God.
Real fast.
Oh my God.
So it was just like completely like obnoxious and like just kind of like shook up the vibe a little bit. Like I said, it literally felt like, nah, you're planted. You're like, all right, I'm gonna watch.
Yeah, out. Like you're totally a decoy.
Yeah, there's no way. But then you get to know Jason and you're like, no, this is you. Oh
my God.
Okay, this is you. Oh.
Oh, that's why he was picked. I mean, come on. That's like perfect. It's amazing. Right.
And you're like, probably people. Like, oh, you're the villain of the show.
Oh yeah, that was very, I was like, okay, that's your character. All right, let's go maybe, cycling through the next person. What's your character?
But yeah. I know. It's fun to like try to figure that out. You're like, what am I?
What is all that like, even when we start getting into the show and you're starting to see people have blowouts, you know what I mean? Like Renisha had the blowout with Carmen. You know, I don't know if you're around, like you're in the dorms, so I'm sure you're within earshot of all that shit. What is it like to experience that stuff going down?
It's interesting because, you know, we're all in our own ball, right? While the people might be experiencing anxiety, some people have social anxiety, may not know how to socialize, et cetera.
Sure.
So we're all observing it in our own zones. And then for us, you know, watching the show was interesting, as it always is for all the reasons. But watching the show was interesting because we would always hear the girls, they had drama all the time. Like that was just, I remember that being a big thing for us, like very consistent. Like, all right, the girls are going to like, we don't have to do much. They're probably going to take themselves out. Like that's what it was given.
as we like to do.
I'm just saying, that's
you know, it's so true.
Right. And I was just like, all right, we don't have to do much. But it was interesting when I watched the show, I'm like, okay, I remember everybody hating Carmen. I just didn't know why. You know, I remember people coming in the dorm like, F her or whatever they would say. And then I'll be watching, and then I'm watching, I'm like, oh, okay, I understand now. And some people called Carmen the Jason of the red team.
Oh, totally.
So I watched and I was like, okay, now I get it. I just remember cooking food for everybody in the dorms and like, we like you. Thank you for being clean and cleaning up behind yourself and cooking us food. So, yeah.
I mean, this is going to sound rude, but Jason seems like he's even though he's annoying or whatever on the show, he does seem like he knows what's up. Like he knows, like his experience
is pretty.
He's got evident. A skill set.
I think it's like legit.
With Carmen, it feels like, and I don't know this because I've never had anything that Carmen's made, you know what I mean? Yeah. But it feels like she's just really in it about, you know, pushing herself in front of television as opposed to being a great cook. Like there was that episode where she's trying to like get her dish in front of everybody else's. And it's like, dude, your dish doesn't even feel to be look as good as everybody else's. So what game are you? You're playing a game.
Yeah, she's way more purposeful about it. And Jason is just like way more like, no, this is just my weird personality. I'm just super awkward. And like, yes. I'm like he doesn't know that he's like doing this shit. You know, and it's like really, shitty.
Right. Yeah,
he's not aware.
I'm sorry.
Like he knows. It's funny. My mom calls me after the first episode. Now, mind you, I watched it with her a couple of times, but after she finally watched it alone by herself, she was like, "And not hey, Jermaine, great job. I'm really proud of you. Not hey, I really like." She was like, "I really don't like that Jason guy." And I was like, yeah. that's what everybody. It was just like the theme for like the first five episodes. Like everybody would text me that. But again, that's how he's positioned. So none of us are really, really.
He seems fine with it. Like he seems happy being that character.
Yeah.
But what was Gordon like for you? Because you're a fan of the show. You're probably a fan of his as well. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. It was great. It was like, you know, being, around a culinary titan and giant like that is a big deal, right? This man makes money in his sleep because he has 50,000 shows on no matter what channel you turn it.
Yeah.
So, to be around somebody with such like culinary expertise and, you know, certain things that he does on TV that he makes it look like it's 1, 2, 3,
it's like...
so quick, you know, clockwork. It was cool. It was a great experience. And I think for me, I'm a private chef with restaurant chef experience. So a lot of my experience in the industry is really throwing myself into the wolves and the lions and doing a lot of work for free and working my way up. Mm-hmm. So it's just another quick reminder of, you know, another like check off the list of, wow, Jermaine, you've actually gotten to this point where you're able to showcase your skills, talents, and abilities in front of one of the fucking best in the industry.
Right.
Totally
self-made. Like no one like did a favor for you to get you in there. Like, exactly. Totally earned that experience. And
exactly.
What about when you see his buttons pressed and he's throwing steaks at people's faces?
Yeah. That's always fun
to see, right?
Yeah, it's very, he has a very house kitchen personality and then a master chef personality, which are not the same. All right.
Nope. They are not.
Not at all. He's very loving on that show. But I'll say for this, to be honest, when his buttons are pressed, his buttons are pressed. You know, one of the things I'll say is that, and I'm sure we'll get into some part of this, but honestly, out of the entire blue team, the two people who held their composure every single time, consistently, every episode, every day, and kept the team together were Demir and I. You know what I'm saying?
No doubt. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For us, and there's so much that wasn't shown, and it's that's a whole other topic. But that being said, a lot, we held our composure. So we didn't really see, like, we didn't get a lot of explosions on us outside of whatever the camera part for the whatever. So to that point, Gordon always started. People ask me all the time, what is Gordon Ramsay like? I'm like, honestly, he's not as bad as you think. Like, he starts off training you, teaching you, helping you. Once you become donut material, I guess, then that's when everything else starts happening. You know what I'm saying? Equal opportunity donutter.
Right, so, no doubt. He is. Yeah.
So,
So that's all I would say about him.
No, and that's very accurate. I mean, it's always the number one question, and it's the same answer every time. Like, he's there to educate, but if you don't take it, like, he's going to give it to you. Like, if you're not willing to learn,
exactly,
then that's on you. So
they put you in charge of the garnish station and you were apprehensive about that, right?
I don't think I was, but if the camera said that or somebody said that, then sure.
Okay. Yeah. So tell me about this whole garnish station debacle.
Yeah. So easy peasy one. All right. So I got to take us back to bring us forward. So we finally are through, in Hell's Kitchen time, I think 1 week of episodes, right? I have now, in this case, worked just about every station. If you throw me in Garnet Station for that menu, easy peasy, 1, 2, 3, easy. At this point, I've worked every station. I got the flow. I got it. What you don't see is that this is the first time that they changed the menu on the show. Mm-hmm. And when they change the menu on Hell's Kitchen, it's not like you get this 5-hour to 2-day training. You get an hour and a half tops. and you have both chefs going at the same damn time, Chef Christina and Chef Jason. You
choose
into. They're showing you the dishes. Now, this is not one. Not one thing was the same. Even the proteins, the type of steaks we were making were different. And then I think the only thing that was there was risotto. Maybe it was butternut squash risotto, if I'm remembering correctly. But outside of that, everything changed. So for the first time ever, I'm on Garnish Station. Not the old garnishes, the new one with a brand new menu. And for this menu, is the first time ever that just about every ticket, if I'm remembering correctly, you have to send everything out family style. So every table gets 5 things from the station out: asparagus with compound butter, mac and cheese, smashed potatoes that are fried, and then the garlic and whatever it was, mushrooms or whatever. So now it's so many things going on. I remember trying to get ahead, and I remember Chef Jason. Blue hair, Jason, not Jason.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right, Jason. Right. Chef Jason goes, we don't
good
start.
Good Jason.
Right. He said something along the lines of, if I remember correctly, like, we don't start that soon, or we don't start that earlier. We don't start getting ahead that early. Like, okay. Then I stop it down. I'm like, let me slow it down. Let me start trying to expo and read off the ticket so everybody can see it. That's also an awkward position because you're encouraged to do that because it's your job, but you can't be too close to Gordon or he'll curse you out. Why are you up here in this space trying to read the tickets? It's like this catch-22 experience.
Right. Then, you're like trying to hide from dad, you know? Like,
I don't have my glasses on, so I can't even see the goddamn tickets, but whatever, right? So we're doing that and I'm reading and calling off the tickets. So now we get to the time where entrees are ready. And at this time now, I waited too long to get ahead of myself because I guess I couldn't navigate between don't get too ahead and here's the time. So I started trying to get things ready. And then when I'm heating things up, for whatever reason, when I drop things into the oven under us, they're not getting hot. Then if you notice, Gordon comes back and he says, throw it on the stovetop. I throw it on the top. It's not getting hot for whatever reason. Okay, great. Now, what I did get behind on, or I had the potatoes were good, asparagus was fine, but things were not heating for whatever reason. When I watched the show, they're not heating up for whatever reason. So now I'm like, oh man, like, okay, I'm getting behind. I know I'm getting behind, but what are we doing? Keeping our composure, because that's been the consistent performance and experience throughout the show. So we keep the composure, head doesn't go down. I request help, help flies in. Thank y'all so much, because I need it. Are the potatoes ready? No, the fuck, they're not ready. I have to be like nothing. And one, I had 2 commitments in the show. And 2 of them stand strong. One was to never ever quit. The second one was to never ever send anything raw, because at the end of the day, this is what's going to follow my career. I don't care about anybody.
Totally, that's a valid point.
As a chef, there's just something I could never commit to. So you will never. This was my commitment. To get anything raw. You might get a Wellington that was artfully crafted and wrapped in foil. We'll talk about that shortly. Or some scallops cooked in hot oil, but they're not overcooked or undercooked, right? They're messy or dirty, whatever words they use.
Sure.
But you won't get anything raw. So to that point, that was my plan. But again, as I'm in Garnish Station, I'm just like, all right, I never put my head down. Nothing else I ever sent out, obviously, outside of everything else, was ever undercooked. And then when I watched the show, I was like, yo, when they started helping me, obviously you're not thinking this, it's not even on my station. The pizza oven is all the way on the other side. They started putting mac and cheese in the pizza oven, and I said, oh shoot, I didn't even think to put it in a pizza oven, but also in chaos on another station, why would I? Because everything that's supposed to work, for whatever reason, is not working. So that was my experience. I got flustered, fell behind, everybody came to help. I appreciated the help, and that was my first Hell's Kitchen fuck up. That's my first major fuck up that I would say. You know, because again, prior to that, no raw meat, no bad services for the most part, no whatever, like, et cetera.
And you and Devin kind of got into it a little bit, right?
I think me and Devin got into it a lot of it. A lot of it behind the camera, or a lot of it that was not shown, which is crazy to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, it is.
what was Devin like? I mean, he was mad. I remember at one point that the blue team stopped and all this to help you.
Yeah.
Was that a part of it? Was there other stuff underlining before that?
You're saying what was Devin like, and then talk to me about the second.
Just go ahead. Let's start with what was Devin like. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So my experience with Devin, it's funny, when I first got into the competition, Devin and I seemed to be like really cool and close, actually. That's what it felt like, at least. First couple of days, we are very specific about, yo, egos are one of the things that can easily get you eliminated, right?
Sure.
Like, there's no room for that. So we are pretty aligned. We shared a room together. Like, it was me, Jason, Demir, Brad, and someone else. I'm forgetting somebody. But anyway, whatever. We shared a room. We were good. As the competition goes on, I start to realize that Devin is, in my experience, very frantic on the line. Very, very frantic on the line. Doesn't help hold his composure, kind of has bad self-talk, if you will. And I found myself easily being Devin's like bestie on the show for a little while. and his therapist on the show for a long while. And I'd like to think, maybe before the show aired, because I'm sure people have different feelings about things after edits, but I'd like to think that if you ever ask anybody what was Jermaine's role in that show, somebody would say he kept the team together when it comes to heart and like mind, right? Sure. And that was the important thing. And
that's awesome.
That's a great thing
to be known for.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And I always said that Demir kept the team together on a coach level, kind of like sports. So like we were anchors in many different ways, despite what was seen or not seen or whatever. So to answer your question, Devin started off cool for the most part, then easily got stressed. He gets stressed very easily from what I remember. Gets frantic very easily from what I remember. And I even supported him multiple times when we worked. I think we worked a hot app together. And there's times where I'm taking his carbonara and risotto and whatever, because I'm trying to make sure he's not stressed. And what I found is a lot of these chefs decided that, you know what, this is my chance and I want to step up to the front and I want to do the leadership of the leadership and I don't need any help because I sleep, eat and breathe this. Like that was a lot of the energy they were given. So what do I do? Okay, you go ahead, you assume that role. I'll do the support, quote unquote, for these things. And there's nothing that you'll need that you ever won't need. But this is what you eat, sleep and breathe because this is what you told me. I love Matias to death in real life. Matias told me that on when we worked together. He said, look, this is I do this in real life. I eat, sleep, and breathe this. I'm executive sous chef of blah, blah, blah. Meats is what we do. I only want you to work on that. All right, cool. We're going to work on that. And same thing kind of happened with Devin, but Devin gets flustered. And again, the composure. And then my other experience, and I think people, I feel like people would agree to this easily. It wasn't just my episode that Devin had lack of accountability. That was Devin. Every time he was up, it was somebody else's fault. Every time he sent that raw meat, from my memory, it was somebody else's fault. So it felt like very little accountability. And then Devin wasn't explosive in a way he was for my episode, but the energy that he was given was not unfamiliar. That was kind of what was given every day. So I was just it was interesting to me that everything was held until that moment, so much so that my confessionals don't even make sense because I'm talking about things that you guys haven't even shown. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think that checks out. I mean, he admitted just now when we talked to him that he was in his head a lot and he was, you know, very negative. He didn't think that he belonged there. There was so everything you just said definitely it validates someone who was living in that experience.
Yeah, he said same thing. He's like, I haven't watched it because like 2 years ago, I was just like not who I am now. And like, he's like, I just can't go watch that.
I don't know if you saw his exit, but that was a whole
what you're saying is definitely checking out.
It was definitely that. And I think that there was the episode 2, and I'll wait till you get into more questions. Kind of want to pull more things out and do your job. But there were just, again, I'm glad that it checks out because like I said, I'll wait, but there were episodes as well down the line too, where things like that definitely came up and they weren't unique. So, yeah.
Well, let's talk about your elimination.
Yep.
I mean,
let's dive into
it. Did you know that it was your time? Did you think that you would survive this?
So I believe it was the night before the episode before. So what's not shown, so my biggest thing here are the things that are cut out, right? And not just that I cut out, but I feel like some edits, again, edit some villains as heroes and some heroes as villains, and some people who like may have been small heroes as superheroes and people who like saved that didn't save at all. So it's just interesting take for me, right, as a viewer when I lived the experience. And to take us back, I remember we were up for elimination or deciding or deliberating for elimination. And there's like a group, like the whole team, like blue team is there. And I guess I'm walking by, if I remember correctly, and Devin's like, or somebody, whoever's like, can we talk to you? And I'm like, sure. So they sit me down to talk to him. So I'm like, what's going on? And I remember Devin just starting off very strong, like, you know, I just think that it's really crazy and messed up that you're going to sit here and lie and try to lie about your tallies for the challenges so that you could not be put up for elimination and so that you can get ahead. And I think that's really fucked up. And, you know, I don't think that shows good, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, Devin, what the hell are you talking about? And he was like, no, even the producers told me, blah. I said, all right, let me just stop you real quick. I said, first of all, I have more integrity than every fucking person in this house and every person on this team. So I'm the same person that y'all come to cry on, my shoulders wet from all the tears, like from anything that you can think of, like I'm that person. I said, the other part is I've been running this very democratic, like if you will, in the fact that, all right, let's just go by your tallies. Who's messed up here? That it all is, add them up, et cetera. I said, I have no opportunity, no reason to lie. Last and foremost, too, there are cameras everywhere. Why the hell would I ever lie about my performance? My skills, talents, and abilities speak for themselves. I never have to lie to get ahead. Mm. So that's one. I said, two, if you're dumb enough to believe the producers whose job is to manipulate and create and manufacture exactly what's happening right now, then insert whatever words I could have used after that. But my point is that wasn't happening. I said, so the next time you do that, I said, think twice about when you try to put my name in anything that my name does not belong into, because this seems like a really snaky move. So every time I'm having confessionals throughout the show and I'm referring to Devin being a snake, and I'm referring to him doing whatever he needs to do to get to the top or whatever words I could use, it's a reflection of him trying to turn the team against me in a moment to kind of make sure he avoids elimination or whatever, which is why the episode before I was confused, because I said, I thought that we decided Devin would go up. And he was like, what? And I was like, I'm confused. It's not what we walked out and just decided. Apparently, and I said, correct me if I'm wrong, Jason says, nope, you're wrong. It was me and you. I said, in my brain, y'all must have talked about that when I walked away. And then Chef looks at them and goes, unanimous, right? And three heads nod, not the whole team. And the three heads that nod are probably the three that probably aligned in some way, shape, or form at some point, right? Yes. So every other head did not. Three heads aligned, and that was that. So that's not unanimous if you know what the definition means. But that was that experience. Let's go back now to the elimination. So now we're at elimination. And I will say, too, I don't know if he shared this, but Devin also, you know when someone is kind of like, knows you're not kind of like fucking with them, but like kind of wants to like get your attention a little bit.
Totally.
So he was kind of playing that. And long story short, I finally gave him like a little time or a long time. We spoke from like 1 a.m. maybe to like 2:30 a.m. And he apologized. He was like, I just want to tell you, I'm really sorry. You're right. A lot of the things that, you know, I said and did to you were wrong. I shouldn't have jumped the gun. You've been great to me. You know, insert thing about maybe mental health, maybe insert whatever about the situation we're going, toxicity, whatever. And I said, cool, I'll forgive you. I'm not going to forget. Let's move on. And then inserts elimination thing here, and then whatever. When I came to my elimination night, I did not think I was going home. Why? It's my first major fuck up. I've been
exactly
here seven episodes now. It's my first fuck up. I've never sent up anything raw. If you can keep people on who have sent raw meat up every single episode,
right. Yeah.
And other I was shocked.
I can say people on your team have done it multiple times and they're still there.
Multiple people, multiple times. There's no, so am I going to be up for elimination? Absolutely. I told Demir, that's my boy. Like, in real life, I said to Demir, like, yo, I'm going up, put me up. That's fine. I just know there's no way I'm leaving. And the reason why I left was not because I sent a cold mac and cheese. It was because I didn't tear Devin down when I was given the chance to when I was asked. And that's not my character and my personality in real life. And I got to be responsible for the words that come out of my mouth that are going to live with me forever. And I'm intentional about my word. So I'm not going to sit there and be like, yeah, Devin, he's terrible, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to process the thought real quick, get the words I want to use, make sure I own those words. And by that time, he didn't want to hear it. And then I tried to come out again, and then he stopped me. And I think it was just a lesson about for him or whatever about, you know, if you can't be mean and pick the person down, then, you know, whatever. And then insert TV stuff here. So I think that was not my night to go home.
But in the end, I mean, I think, at least, you know, from my perspective, what a much better way to go out than putting someone down just so you can, you know, that's something that's going to stay with you, stay with your character, just so you can stay an episode or two, maybe three, you know, like longer on a TV show, you know, like way to stay with your character and not give into, you know, what really they're trying to get out of you.
Yeah. My integrity, you know, like, is everything. Like, you know, some people on the show, this is all they have. So I get, you might want to claw your way, and maybe you come from a small town in a small city and this is what you got. For me, this is not my first time on television. That's not a flex or a brag. It's just there are other things happening in life for me. You know what I mean? So
yes,
right.
And I have to be Jermaine, and I got to be Chef Jermaine when I leave here, and then I got to be Jermaine Wright when I leave here. And when I leave here, I still got to leave with my integrity, with who I am, what my character is, and all of that. And I made sure to maintain that and keep that intact. So,
well, I love that, Jermaine. That was one. We appreciate hearing the sides of the story, you know, and like really understanding one. What was going on behind the scenes? What didn't get showed? And two, most importantly, kind of what was going on like in your head? Because those are the things that we can't really pick apart. And so from you and all the other contestants, we really appreciate getting that kind of insight. I was saying earlier, it's almost fun for me. Like, I want to go back and rewatch. Now that we have a better picture of what's going on, you can totally see it from a different lens and understand and build a better, you know, story of what was happening. So, one, we are so appreciative to have you on. And we were sad to see you go.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, we were sad to see you go. But we will be following your future career for sure. As I know a lot of other viewers will be as well. I think we've seen that you have a lot to offer, not only just in your chef skills, but in your way of like how you carry yourself. So, and I think that says more than anything. There's a lot of great chefs, but finding really good people that have good integrity is difficult. So
yes. Well, thank you so much, man. Appreciate you. Are you on Instagram? Where can people find you?
Of course. You can catch me on Instagram at @main_o, main spelled like the state, MAINE_OH, www.8countkitchen.com. And I don't know, wherever you see cool people.
Awesome. Amazing, I love it. I love it. I like that. I'm finding you right now.
Let's all stay in touch, dude. All right.
Awesome. Hey, we appreciate it so much. We enjoyed watching you and best of luck. Thank you so much for joining us.
Of course. Good luck with the show, and I'll hopefully hear from you soon.
All right. Thank you. See ya.